RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
So last week here at RCR, at the end of the week, you would have heard, if you were listening to this program, the people from Calm on Kapiti Coast. And if you were listening to that, you will be better informed regards what's going on with our councils and managed retreat and climate adaptation, all the buzzwords. We're going to talk more about this now with Salima Padamsi, who's the chair of the CRU, and the CRU are the Coastal Ratepayers United Group, another group fighting climate adaptation plans in Kapiti. The difference, though, between them and Calm is that they're fighting on the legal front rather than a community action group. So Salima is with us. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Paul, for having me. I really appreciate the time.
Okay, so they're on the community action front. Your group is on the legal front. So tell us what that means you're doing.
So I'll tell you that Coastal Ratepayers United is a community-based organization that represents over 500 Kapiti ratepayers committed to ensuring local hazard risks are appropriately addressed and managed based on good science, good planning, and good law. And over the last decade, much of our effort has been directed to reversing exaggerated hazard assessments based on poor science, poor planning, and poor law. So that's where we are at the moment. And our group was formed directly in 2012. When council at first tried to introduce, well, they did introduce coastal hazard lines on our properties.
2012.
So, yes. So we've
it's
been
ages ago.
Yeah, I know. We're still here, believe it or not. And so they put coastal hazard lines on 1,800 homes in Kapiti. And the lines were placed on their land information memorandums, LIMS. Mm-hmm. And that's how a crew formed. So there was a group of concerned residents who got together, and we founded Coastal Ratepayers United. And we've been through, we went to court a couple times with council. And the first case was in 2014, was the Mike Weir versus the KCDC. And crew at that time was the intervener. And as a result of that, lines were removed off the limbs, and an independent science panel was held by this council. And then that independent science panel found that the science report that council had used was not fit for the purposes of planning.
So we've already been here before.
And we're back here again.
Why are we back here again? Or are you back here again?
Well, because in 2016, we were in the Environment Court, and there were two declarations. One declaration was granted to the council, and the second declaration was the need for getting the work done. So the proposed district plan had actually pulled out the entire coastal hazards chapter. And so when we went back to court in 2016, the council said that they would finish that chapter in 4 years.
Hmm.
And that was Judge Dwyer at the time at the Environment Court. And he said, you know, and I'm paraphrasing, 4 years is a long time for people to wait to get a remedy on
this issue.
Sure.
Yeah.
And the council came back and I said, no, we want to make sure we do it really, really well. So we want to take the time to do it right. Well, we're now in 2024, and we're still waiting for Chapter 4.
Can we explain why it takes so long?
Well, so I think in 2020, when their time was up, they decided to form a coastal advisory panel. And that coastal advisory panel, which CREW initially was part of the working group, was meant to do a coastal hazard risk assessment. And so, and that's what you needed to do a Chapter 4 district plan. But when the report came out, it was not a coastal hazard risk assessment. It was a coastal hazard vulnerability and susceptibility assessment.
Oh, the word vulnerability.
And so they that no longer fit the parameters for district planning.
Okay. So they pulled a move?
Right. So the original contract was for a coastal hazard risk assessment. Council had a contract with Jacobs Engineering in New Zealand to do a coastal hazard risk assessment, but that's not what they delivered. And it took
So what happened to the Jacobs report then?
Oh, no, it still exists. Council is still using it.
Yeah, okay. Yep.
So they're using what they got, not what they asked for.
Okay.
And so when that...
Wait on. How do you ask for something and get something different and it's still acceptable?
Well, that's what we asked. That's the exact same question. And after 18 months with council and through the Office of the Ombudsman, the council had confirmed that it considers that no information exists in this regard. So when you ask them, you had a contract for a coastal hazard risk assessment. You got a separate report. How did it happen? They cannot tell you how that happened.
Why?
There's no contract. There's no terms of reference. There's no emails. There is nothing. And we asked council to go to Jacobs because Jacobs is a multi-billion multinational company. Surely they are not producing a report that they do not have a terms of reference.
No, it's not done on a handshake or a phone call, is it?
Well, and the council solicitor wrote to us and said that Jacobs also holds no information.
Oh, man. Come on.
I'm not joking. And yet they were paid $250,000 for that report.
Well, boy, there's something so fishy in that, surely.
Well, I want to even take it further. So I brought it up in 2022. I was at an audit and risk committee meeting at council, and I spoke to them on the record, and I said to them, you know, that we had informed the ombudsman. I had written to the council myself in April to the councillors, but mainly that ratepayers paid for a report that the council did not commission and did not contract. And
$250,000.
At $250,000. I was told it was incorrect. They didn't know what I was talking about. But a couple weeks ago, the council produced their legislative compliance report. And in that report, for this process of the Coastal Advisory Group, they have now admitted that there have been three instances identified where no contracts or procurement paperwork are in place for two suppliers.
Okay.
So we know one supplier is Jacobs.
Who's the other?
I've had to put in an official information request. I went to the Risk and Assurance Committee meeting a couple weeks ago, and I asked them, and they refused to say it on public record.
Is that the one you sent a link through to that?
Correct.
I watched at the
1 hour
16 timestamp, and the woman who presumably was answering to that?
Yes, who didn't really answer to it.
No.
No.
And it was all sort of, oh, well.
Yeah, and you know, the problem is this is ratepayers' money. I don't know, Paul, if you pay your bills without an invoice or a contract.
No, and no one will pay me without them either.
But obviously it happens in Kapiti.
Surely that, and for the amount too, surely that is, it's serious, isn't it?
Well, it is very serious.
Because anyone would think, well, what's being hidden here? Is something going on?
Well, that's correct. And so a part of that report also says that actions to resolve the procurement concerns are complete. But what happened?
How could they be?
Well, I don't know, because that was one of the things that they promised at that council meeting to address. And so when it came to addressing it, they didn't address it. They refused. They said this was going to be publicly closed meeting now to discuss this issue. But this legislative compliance report is a public report. It's on a public agenda. The findings are public, but yet you can't discuss it on a public record at the meeting in which it is reporting to.
Who's the most deeply involved on the council side in this?
In this part of it?
Directing that no paperwork.
That's what we're trying to find out.
I mean, so who could it be? Because, you know, usually the person with the most to gain is the one or the people, you know, doing what they're doing. Do we know who that person, might be? Suspicions?
I couldn't speculate, but all of these breaches are under the Coastal Advisory Panel, the Takutai Kapiti Group. No other section has any breaches except for this one project.
Well, that's another data point, isn't it?
Well, it's weird.
Yeah.
You know, so we've had to put in an official information request, and our council is very diligent. At 4 o'clock on the 20th day, you will get a response, not before.
Slow walk.
Yeah.
Okay, so something's going on, right?
You would think.
Yeah. Why do you think they're so, what's the word? Hard on it. They're going hard.
Well, you know, for us, we have seen the Jacobs report, and we kind of feel we're back in a time machine to 2012, because the science in the Jacobs report doesn't add up to us. And we have written a critique of the Jacobs report, and then we put in an addendum. And just like 2012, nobody wanted to listen. Nobody wants to listen. And then we're just back where we are, all over again. So we have had no choice but to raise money ourselves within CREW, within our membership. And we've engaged the Waikato University to undertake a report that would meet the regulations that was promised in the Environment Court in 2016. Because this council just cannot seem to do it.
Sounds like they were treading water for how many years? 10 years.
Yes.
Waiting for the opportunity to spring again.
Yeah. Well, I think originally when they started the Coastal Advisory Panel, because it was meant to be a coastal hazard risk assessment, that would have kind of, that might have been a good way to move forward. But because it was a vulnerability and susceptibility report, we no longer had skin in the game, because adaptation, which might be a part of district planning, is not the basic of district planning. Mm. It doesn't meet the Jacobs report doesn't meet the RMA threshold for district planning purposes. So you can't use it.
Right. Meantime, limbs are affected. Worst case scenario modeling is used.
Correct.
It seems to me that if that can be eliminated, the whole thing falls down anyway, doesn't it?
Well, if you're using an extreme case scenario that you know is implausible, and I'm not saying it's implausible. I'm saying it's the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change that's saying it's impossible, implausible. You're going to get an implausible or an extreme result. And if you are looking at adaptation or climate change or coastal hazards, you want to use the best science available. You want to be able to bring the community with you. You want to be able to them understand what's going on. And you don't want to feel like you're hoodwinking them. And, you know, in the absence of transparency, you get speculation. And this is what's happened. And of course, with Mr. Bolger's combative nature, it really, really hasn't helped.
Yeah, so you don't think he's been a help at all? Former Prime Minister, elderly statesman of New Zealand? Is he fit for it?
Well, I can tell you, Mr. Bolger was kind enough to give me a call in 2022 to tell me that CREW were a bunch of bullshitters, a bunch of climate change deniers.
Oh, he's drunk the Kool-Aid.
And if he had it, and according to him, we were not welcome to participate in any aspect of the Coastal Advisory Panel.
How could you say that?
Effectively, he shut the door on anything that CREW could do or could help with. And look, Paul, I want to tell you that the mayor is aware of this. The deputy mayor was aware of it. The CEO was aware of it. The council solicitor was all aware of all of this in 2022. And they just chose to ignore it because
they want it, Salima. They want it. They must want it.
Well, it's not very pleasant to being on the other end of the phone of Mr. Bolger kind of screaming at you.
He might have just forgotten who he was talking to seconds afterwards anyway. He's getting on a bit.
I was really worried he might have a heart attack, to be honest.
Jim, settle down, Jim. Cup of tea. But why would you get aggressive like that? Unless you're sort of obsessed or possessed by something.
Well, I don't know. And I think
I know you don't know.
I can't speculate for Mr. Bolger or for any of the CAP members.
Yeah, but they all sound incredibly defensive.
And they're not open to a discussion. And if you are if you want to have an open and honest discussion, and look, this is not an easy discussion to have. Be the honest broker.
Why isn't it an easy discussion to have? Well, all you got to do is look out your beachfront view at Raumati or somewhere, and you can see, as we've been told, in some parts the sea has receded.
Right. So we have commissioned the Waikato University report, and what I can tell you is that it's not finalized, but from what we have been able to read. The Waikato University also did a peer review of the Jacobs report for us. That was part of what we had asked for.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And they've come back and said that the Jacobs reports are not fit for the purposes of planning. So okay. Now we're
so they spent $250,000 on something that's not even fit for the planning process.
Yeah. Right? And that's a proper peer review because, you know, council says, oh, look, Jacobs have been peer reviewed. But Jacobs really haven't been properly peer reviewed. They were peer reviewed by the Greater Wellington Regional Council, and they were peer reviewed by BECA.
Okay. So BECA is an engineering firm, I think, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the Greater Regional Council, Wellington Regional Council, that'd be the same mindset as the local council. So that's not really a peer review, credible peer review, is it?
Well, I call it a PAL review, not a peer review.
Nicely
but
put.
I also wanted to direct. So, in March 2018, Jacobs actually partnered with BECA as a major service provider for Defense Capability Acquisition and Sustainment Group for New Zealand and Australia.
Okay, so this is something that they're deep in. In this part of the world, same thing, kind of.
Yeah, so Jacob's core business is nuclear weapons manufacturing.
It just keeps getting better.
Yeah, it is what it is, isn't it?
Nuclear weapons manufacturing.
That's their core business. So they partner up with people like Lockheed Martin.
Yeah, the industrial military complex.
Yeah. So that's their core business. That's what they really do. That's what that's what their sister or their head office does. That's their main job. But here they do engineering, but they still have links to their parent company, of course.
And we've heard that they've taken maybe $1 billion in earnings out of New Zealand.
Easily.
Yeah. Well, now you can see why. You know, the picture starts to come together. Why? And I will speculate a bit. That is a huge money flow, right? And follow the money, surely. Do you think, I'm wondering, are your councillors being squeezed somehow?
I couldn't tell you. And if you had, and you've seen that video that I sent you of the meeting that I spoke at.
Hmm.
And when it came time to speak to these legal compliance issues, not one counselor asked the question, how did it get resolved? So I'm kind of wondering, well, I'm not wondering. I know that there is a huge disconnect between elected officials and the community here in Kapiti.
But that doesn't stop you asking questions.
No, it doesn't stop us asking questions, but we have elected officials that represent us who should be pushing those issues.
Well, that's who I was talking about.
And they won't do it.
But why?
I'm not so
too dangerous to ask those questions. Maybe that's why I wonder about being squeezed
or scared or bullied into towing the line.
What, a call from Jim Bolger?
Yeah, I don't. I'm
bollocking from old Jim.
Well, yeah, who knows? Maybe. So,
look, you better stop that now, otherwise I'll get Jim Bolger to call you. Okay, all right. I'm out of here.
I would not want another call from Jim Bolger. I'll tell you that right now. The first one was just enough for me.
So the legal battle here, what weaponry do you have?
So we are finalizing our Waikato University report, and council have now embarked on the process of district planning. So they are now going to do the Chapter 4 that they had promised in 2016.
Oh, okay. All right.
And so they are in the process of doing it. We are in the wait and see position.
Who have they engaged for that? Do we know?
We don't know at the moment.
We should know, given the track record. We've really got to know, don't we?
I don't think they've appointed anyone at the
moment.
Well,
even the options.
Yeah, all we know is that they've put out a tender
there will be paperwork this time.
Let's hope so. Who knows what they ask for and what they get? It wouldn't be a shock if they got something different. But Crewe at the moment is in a wait and hold position, so we're waiting to see how this is going to play out. I personally think that there is a lot of confusion within council on how to move forward, on how this works, on what is an RMA threshold, that they have to follow the New Zealand Coastal Policy Statement, which is the overarching legislation in this country to do a coastal hazard risk assessment for a district plan. And that to date has not been done by this council. They have not been able to undertake a statutorily required report.
Which means the information on LIM reports needs to be, in this no man's land at the moment, removed, right?
Well, this is the issue that we've been asking for. And so council said, council said 12 years ago, if we have information, we have to put it on there. But Justice Williams said that the information that is on LIMS has to be fair and balanced. It has to go through a veracity, and if it's being challenged, you have to take that into consideration. And Jacobs is being challenged by us, technically, through our own reports. There is a economic assessment that is also challenging their economic assessment. And even though the LIM says that, you know, parts of Jacobs are being contested, nobody can find where that information is. So it's not a fair and balanced presentation on the LIMS where people can go and see. But they do say that they will be using Jacobs for the purposes of planning. And I would say to you that Jacobs does not meet the threshold for planning purposes. And I'm not saying that. The Waikato University is saying that.
Yeah, and also their presence in this part of the world doing this sort of work. You know, it sounds like the old antitrust thing. It's they're in fingers in too many pies, the same pie.
Well, do you want to hear my theory?
Yeah.
So I think because they have a military background, and that's a big core of what they do, that's their, you know, I mean, they're banned in all parts of Europe. They can't engage in Europe. I think that these kinds of engagement with communities, with councils, becomes like the hearts and mind policy of them. So on one side, they're developing these weapons, weapons manufacturing systems. And on the other hand, they're helping, they're helping communities become resilient. It's the hearts and minds of American hardware.
Yeah. But also it means a supranational, well, maybe they're not that big, but a global entity can be a direct player in the value of people's properties.
Absolutely.
And that's, we don't want that, do we?
Well, I think if you want to look at coastal hazards, and it is the law in this country, you do have to do it, you do have to look at it. Why not do it through a university or through an earth science department? Why go through these huge consultancies that use modeling that is unacceptable, implausible?
Well, it's like a PCR test for land. You just keep dialing it up until you get the result, right?
Yeah. Well, we're in our second rodeo now for Crew, because we had great concerns first time around. And I'm glad that we formed Crew, because if we hadn't, we would be using science that was not fit for the purposes of planning. So it was good of us to challenge it. And we have a track record. And so now when we come back to council and we say, look, we have concerns again, it just seems to be falling on incredibly deaf ears. And unless things change, we really don't know. We're confused ourselves about how council is confused. We've been through this. We know what we're doing. We have the experience. We have the expertise here. We're willing to work together with council to make sure they get it done right. But I'm not so sure that council want to get it done right, because once they dig their heels in and you tell them there's an issue here or there's a problem here, they don't want to hear it. They are not open to criticism. And I'll go a little bit further to say, the staff feel that they're really precious. And if you criticize them, or if you say, I don't agree with you, this is wrong, it's just too much for them.
They, really precious.
They can't handle it.
Let's get a bit of a dose of reality. You're in the world scale, you're an employee in what is a tin pot country, in a tin pot area, which is the size of a postage stamp, really. Yeah, okay, you're a genius. Where do they get where does the attitude, I don't want to sound too harsh, but come on, get real.
So, by using these extreme, rather than likely projections, over 1,000 Kapiti properties are gratuitously projected to be impacted by coastal erosion by 2021-20. It's not a wealthy country. It's not enough to be so cavalier about these kinds of costs.
As far as I'm concerned, that's a problem for future generations. Good luck. Right? What about the living in the now?
Huh? I agree with you. But, I remember having a meeting with council staff and Jacobs uses the best science. It's the best science. You can't get anything better. And I said, okay, well, if you think it's such a good science, why are they using the Bruin rule? And the Bruin rule is an outdated rule that is not meant for us in Kapiti. It's outdated. Nobody uses it anymore. And the response is, we're just planners. We're not scientists.
Oh, so, okay.
Mm. So you don't win either way. And you can't have that. You can't have that discussion. And
yeah, but you can be a planner and know that the data that you're working with is not fit for planning.
But because the council staff really don't understand the science and really don't have a comprehension of what the issues are or what Jacobs is trying to say, the reality is it just becomes the consultant or the contractor that's running the show. It's no longer the council.
No one elected staff. Them.
Yeah, it's not the council staff, because they don't understand it. If you're looking at coastal hazard risk assessment and you're doing a district plan that's going to affect thousands of people in this community, you should kind of have some understanding of what is going on and what the science is saying. And if somebody has some issues, to learn about it, to think about it. I'm not a scientist. I'm an anthropologist. And yet I think I know a hell of a lot more about the Jacobs report and what's in it and what the issues are than any other staff member at the council.
Yeah.
And it's not my job.
No. Well, there are two things here that ring the alarm bells so loud. Worst case scenario modeling and no paper trail.
Correct.
I mean, one or the other, maybe two together. Ah, come on.
So where is the financial transparency.
Yeah. All right. Anything more to say, Salima?
No, I'm good. If there's anything more that you need from me.
Oh, how's the community? Is it starting to rise up a bit, starting to get wind of this more than just the interested people?
I think that more and more people are beginning to realize what's happening. I'm not so sure how this is going to be sold to the community. I'm not so sure there is a community buy-in. You know, they're going to sell something that people don't want to buy. And it'll just be interesting. There is a meeting at the council on the 20th of June where these reports, these findings will be presented. I mean, the costs of what Mr. Bolger and the Coastal Advisory Planning Coastal Advisory Panel is proposing is in the billions.
Yeah, we know that. Yeah, the fantasy land.
So where are they going? So it was about $5.3 million for the panel to give us a recommendation of billions of dollars.
Paid for by company.
Yeah, $5.3 million.
So we're up to nearly $6 million if you take the...
Yeah,
the Jacobs Report
Advisory Panel.
Man, spraying it around.
Yeah. So how much of that went to contractors? I mean, here we have two contractors that got paid without a contractor.
Yeah, significant amounts of money.
Yeah. And so for that, we get a report that says to continue this work of adaptation, it's going to cost billions of dollars. Now, I don't see Capiti being able to access that kind of funding, given just about 4 or 5 years ago, they were the second most indebted council in this country.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that. It's the Auditor General that said it.
Gee, wow. All right. Thanks for coming on and explaining all that from the perspective of the Coastal Ratepayers United Incorporated crew, Salima Padamsi. Anthropologist. We found that out as well. That was really interesting. And we'll keep following this for sure.
All right. Thank you very much, Paul. And have a good week.
With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom by simply visiting www.realitycheck.radio/donate to make a difference today.